What we do in life echoes in eternity.
You will once again be fighting for our freedom, not from tyranny, oppression, or persecution, but from annihilation. We're fighting for our right to live.
From the WSFI studio in Libertyville, Illinois, this is Pro-Life Today with your host, Joe Scheidler.
Hello, this is Joe Scheidler, and I'm welcoming you to Pro-Life Today on WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio. I'm your host, Joe Scheidler, and today my guest is Bonnie Quirk. That's the voice of Bonnie. Bonnie, I've known you forever, and I found out just recently that I've known you even before that you were on the march from Selma to Montgomery, Alabama, way back when
we realized what civil rights were all about and what we should be doing to ensure civil rights for everyone.
You know, it's a funny thing, because not long ago I was down in the Loop, an area actually closer to the water tower, and I had been at the Archdiocesan offices and was walking past a museum. It turns out that Loyola University has a museum, so it was free on Thursday, so we went in, my wife Ann and I, because we were going to stay downtown for a luncheon. And as we finished up the Loyola Museum, we went into the Mundelein College Museum. Now, I had taught at Mundelein College way back when, in the 60s, and so as we went through it, the Mundelein Museum, I saw a strange picture on the wall of a bus, a chartered bus, in Montgomery, Alabama. And there I was standing with my hair, which I had then, flying, and my wife couldn't believe it. There was her husband in a museum, as a museum piece. But we were able to get in touch with the people that ran the museum, and they sent the pictures. There was also a picture of us lined up like a firing squad. Mm-hmm. And so I was on that march, not all the way from Selma to Montgomery, but just at the very end of the march. Now, you were there before that, right?
I was there before that, right. I was a lot younger and very idealistic. Realized right away that we wouldn't have a turnabout in terms of the civil rights issue unless we came down, white people came down, and had solidarity with our brothers and marched from Selma to Montgomery. Not an easy thing to do in those days, believe me.
Was that in 64, 65? I can't remember
my kids' birthdays, but I think it was 64.
Mm-hmm, I think you're right, because I later married Ann, the young lady who had chartered the bus for us, but she couldn't go. She had some other engagement, and so we got married in 65 in September. Bonnie, you're married to James Quirk. You've been married for 50 years.
50 years this year,
That's
right?
That's amazing.
Yours is coming up next year, Joe.
Ours comes up next year, right, in September. It'll be 50
years. See, we have known one another forever.
Now, you have 6 children. We have 7. Mm-hmm. I just beat you by 1. And you have 11 grandchildren.
I do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And are they mostly around this area?
All except 3 who are in Indiana.
Okay. Well, ours are pretty well around this area, except one in Minnesota. And then my one daughter, I think, is moving to London.
Ooh.
She has met a young man who wants to marry her. And so our suspicions are, since he's from London, that she'll be moving to London, which will be a little... Yeah, but it'll give us some opportunity for some trips.
It'll be a great vacation and a great witness for London to see somebody who will stand up for life.
Now, Bonnie, do you remember sitting down in the streets of Montgomery when Dr. King and the others spoke from the steps of the Capitol?
I do.
You do? Mm-hmm. I had a strange thing happen the morning of that march. I started walking into town by myself. And I got surrounded by 6 guys with rocks. One of them was decorating a car with Confederate flags and Yankee go home and so on. Mm-hmm. And I got kind of nervous being surrounded by these men. But fortunately, one of the men in the group was from Pennsylvania. He had just moved south, and he said that he would set up the drinks in the tavern nearby if they would leave me, and they did. And so then he told me, get back to St. Jude's, the church we were all staying at, and stay with the group. Don't, he said, because there's going to be trouble. And as you know, that night, Viola Liuzzo was shot.
Right,
and
correct.
Was shot and killed. Now, Connie, Babs, if I may call you that.
Yes, Giuseppe. You know, we go back a long time. He's the only man alive who can call me Babs. And I suspect I'm one of the few who can call him Giuseppe.
Giuseppe, right. You know, my wife said, don't call her Babs on the program, but I'm allowed to. But we found we met really. You co-founded Lake County Right to Life in 1974, right after Roe v. Wade.
Right.
Want to tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. It was kind of like, if the audience is familiar with La Leche League, there were a group of us in Lake County who knew the Supreme Court decision, knew that a decision was going to be coming down, and it was probably not going to be favorable. And we began meeting in a park. There were like 10 or 12 of us. And we were meeting in a park, and we thought, what would we do if it wasn't the right decision? And then the decision came down, and, you know, legalizing abortion on demand throughout all of pregnancy, a catastrophic decision, a power grab for sure. And we thought, we've got to form some type of an organization. And one of the women who was meeting with us actually was a founder of La Leche League. And her daughter's fiance was in law school, and he said, well, why don't I incorporate you as Lake County Right to Life? And we said, oh, no. Everyone in this country will rise up, and we will overturn this decision in a year. We won't have it anymore. And he said, I need the practice. And so we incorporated Lake County Right to Life, but truly, I thought we'd be done in a year. Well, we're almost 42 years later,
right?
And here we are.
You know, I think we all thought that. I read both decisions, Roe v. Wade, Doe v. Bolton, very carefully. It's very clear when you read Doe v. Bolton and read the footnote that abortion is available for the full term of pregnancy because it brings in the issue of health. And health could be mental health. It could be anything.
Yeah.
And so it was very clear to me. I was working as an account executive for a PR firm myself, and I thought, this is terrible. When the American people find out what we're doing to our posterity, to our own children, they'll rise up against this ruling of the Supreme Court. But it's 42 years.
It is 42 years. And the interesting thing about these 42 years, which, you know, we can talk about all day long, but I think the ecumenical outreach has really inspired me. The outreach, because in those days, in 1973, there was distinct, Catholics didn't go into Protestant churches, and Protestant churches didn't really come through for Catholics. But this movement, this cause, this civil rights, this sacredness of human life has brought the followers of Jesus Christ together like no other movement.
Isn't
ever
that
has.
True? You know, I was thinking of that recently. I was out in California at a meeting, an international meeting of young pro-lifers, and all religions were represented. Mm-hmm. And I remember I've gone to, during Operation Rescue and all. I learned all these Protestant songs I'd never heard, and now they're familiar to me.
Well, remember, we used to, when we would demonstrate, we used to, Catholics would carry their rosary, and Protestants would have their Bible, and now it's familiar for both of us.
Yes.
And the lines have faded, and the cause moves forward as our culture really begins to sink more and more. we need to do more and more.
Right. I think when we really got to know each other, Bonnie, was when the National Right to Life Committee was having their national convention in Chicago. Remember Bill Baird?
Oh, I remember Bill Baird. He carried a cross, and right. he had women in chains behind him. But it was a big cross. It wasn't just a little cross. He carried it just like Christ did on his shoulder.
The only thing was it was a styrofoam cross.
Well, yes.
I felt his cross one time. It was very light. Bill was not carrying much of a weight. Never. And frequently, you know, Bill didn't have the women with him. A lot of them were embarrassed by him mm-hmm. carrying the cross out there. And I did a lot of debates with Bill through the South, and he told me one time, you know, I'm respected more by pro-life women than I am by my own women, pro-choice women.
I remember over the years Bill Baird would even come into conventions that were being held to hear pro-life talks, and I wonder what's ever happened to him.
Bill's still around. Once in a while he calls. In fact, a while back he called and asked me how my health was and gave me a recipe for a drink that I could make in the morning. You mixed up a lot of fruits and I think some vegetables. Sounded terrible. Now, I thought maybe it was something, a poison of some kind. But he was concerned. See, Bill and I did so many back and forth, you know, in the South, mainly through the South and at the college campuses. We had these debates constantly. And I would let him go ahead and give his spiel. My idea was not so much to win the debate, because in the college campus at that time, the pro-lifer couldn't win. And so I would just use that format in order to educate. And I went through the whole fetal development, the damage to women, all that. I would give lots of information. And I know sometimes the pro-lifers in the audience, who were outnumbered about 9-1, would say, well, you didn't win the debate. It didn't matter. It really wasn't that important. You know, we have to go to a short break here now, Bonnie. So this is Pro-Life Today. I'm Joe Scheidler. We'll be right back. This is WSFI 88.5 FM, Catholic Radio.
Hi, this is Wes Riccio from the Holy Family Catholic Bookstore in Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin, wishing all of you a very blessed Advent season. Holy Family has a great selection of Advent wreaths, calendars, and devotionals to help you prepare for the coming of the Lord. And this Christmas, why not consider a gift of faith for your friends and loved ones? Whether you are shopping for a child or adult, Holy Family has the perfect gift. From cradle medals to clinging crosses, baby Bibles to study Bibles, sacred jewelry to sacred art, Holy Family has it all. For 22 years, the Holy Family Catholic Bookstore has served as a resource for the faithful in Northeast Illinois and Southeast Wisconsin. Let us help you give the gift of faith. Our historic 164-year-old building is located at 9249 Old Green Bay Road, Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin, just 2 miles north of the state line. More information is available on Facebook.
Hello. This is Tom O'Connor, a member of WSFI Business Development Team. WSFI is in need of your financial support to continue broadcasting Catholic programming to our listening community. As the calendar year 2014 comes to a close and you are considering placing a substantial amount of funds to a charitable organization, we ask you to strongly consider giving to WSFI Catholic Radio. All donations are tax deductible and can be mailed to WSFI Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois, 60048. That's P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois, 60048. Or call me at 224-206-8455. Thank you, and God bless you for this support.
Okay, you're listening to the Pro-Life Today on WSFI FM radio. I've got my guest today, Bonnie Cork. And Bonnie, we were talking about The 1977 National Right to Life Convention here in Chicago at the Hilton Hotel. Recall that? And
we were, and I'm going to ask Joe if he remembers the march up Michigan Avenue in the abortion clinic. There's a big one right now, right next to an Aid for Women, a crisis pregnancy center, where a young lady died recently who was in the news. But back to 1977, this is a walk down memory lane.
Yes, it is. We had, about six abortion clinics?
Six or seven abortion clinics.
They went all the way up to Water Tower Place.
And
we marched up there, leaving the hotel, the Hilton.
Right.
And Baird was out there. He didn't follow us on our march, though.
No, he didn't. I pray for Bill Baird. I and I'm sure you do too, Joe, that, he will be touched.
He could be. He could be, certainly. You know, I hate to say it, but I think Bill had a sincerity that he was helping women.
Women.
That was his whole thing. That's why he carried that cross. He said it was carrying it for the women who needed abortions. Now, he was totally mixed up on that, needing abortions. But in his own mind, I believe that he had convinced himself that women needed abortions and that it should stay legal. But, you know, he had an abortion clinic out east in Hempstead, New York, and then he had one in Boston. And I've met him both places. Of course, Bill and I saw a lot of each other doing these college campus debates. But remember the walk up the Michigan Avenue? We were a small group.
I couldn't
get a lot of people to come from the convention. Of course, they had paid and they had the scheduled talks and all that sort of thing. But I think that's where we really got to know
each other. I think so. Yes. Fellow spirits.
So we've been in the pro-life movement now for 42 years at least.
It's shaped our lives, hasn't it?
I think so. It's something that I have to do, and I'm sure you do too.
Yes. I think probably you feel like I do. This is a mission. It's a vocation. We're called by name. Our judgment will be a little harsher than others on what we do or don't do in this cause.
There are
few of us, truly.
Something, Babs, Bonnie, that we're trying to do here in Chicago, which you're very aware of because you're on the committee, the board, is have our own March for Life in January. They have one now in San Francisco that is growing by leaps and bounds.
Every year it seems to grow bigger and bigger, younger and younger, more enthusiastic and more enthusiastic.
That's right. There was, for a long time, there was just the major march in Washington, D.C., and we've all been to that.
Oh, we have been there. And just a moment. If the audience has never been there, they must go.
Yeah, sometime in their life.
Sometime in your lifetime, you must go.
But meanwhile, here
in Chicago,
tell us a little bit about the march in Chicago now, the Midwest March for Life.
The Midwest March for Life, and we wanted to grow and grow. About 2,000 came last year. It was kind of reinstituted last year, really under the auspices of Cardinal George. Who wanted to see a public outcry, peaceful speakers. It'll be January 18th this year. Anne is also on the board, Anne, Joe's wife. The Pro-Life Action League is represented, as is Lake County Right to Life and the Catholic Conference and Relevant Radio and Illinois Right to Life, a group of us, and we want this to be the Midwest center for people to come and march in here.
It's just as interesting, I think it's maybe more interesting than one in Washington, because we have local speakers. We do march from I think we're going from, is it the Daley Plaza to the Federal?
Yeah.
And it's a good march. It's not an enormously long march.
No.
But we do have an event at both ends, at the beginning and the end. One thing that bothers me really a little bit with the march in Washington, is that you just sort of dissipate at the end of the march. Whereas here in Chicago, we have speakers and we have singing, and we have an event at both ends, at the beginning and end.
Right, right. And I think last year, it was right before the Washington March, but the enthusiasm really was high, and 2,000 people for a first time on a cold day was great.
It was beautiful. And I got to meet so many wonderful people, activists that have come to our Face the Truth tours mm-hmm. and other things, but many people I had never seen. And so we really do want it to be the Midwest March for Life. And we always have it before the march in Washington, so you don't have to miss that march or the march in San Francisco.
Right, right. And so make a commitment today to attend one of the marches. And you can call the Pro-Life Action League. You can call Lake County Right to Life for time and specific directions. But if you're not going to Washington, come to Chicago.
Bonnie, give your number so people
Sure. Lake County Right to Life, 847-223-7022. 847-223-7022.
And I'm going to give the Pro-Life Action League 773-777-2900. So call either of those numbers, get the information, and show up.
Show up. Stand up for life. You know, 57 million babies have died since we legalized abortion on demand. 57 million babies, 57 million moms, dads, grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins. Every life has been touched. The least we can do for our brothers is come to a march. If it's a little cold, offer it up.
That's right. We just live in that climate. We go out to the clinics every Thursday, Ann and I, and talk to the women if we can. In fact, I had a strange thing happen. The death escorts, I hate to call them that, but that's what
that's
they are,
what
the
they
escorts
are.
At the clinic. They very rarely talk to us in a civil tone, if at all. But I happened to find that the mailman had dropped some mail. And so I picked it up and gave it to one of the desk guards. And I said, I think this is yours. And she said, oh, thank you, sir. And this was one of the kindest words I've ever heard from a desk guard. So I think we're making a breakthrough.
I think maybe that's true. And that would bring me to talk about 40 Days for Life, which just passed, where Joe and Ann and the Pro-Life Action League and through the Archdiocese, we schedule a day, and we go down and we pray in front of an abortion clinic 24/7, the walls of Jericho. And this year, we just concluded, and a clinic closest to us in Lake County is in Chicago, and it's the Albany Clinic. A very dark place.
Very dark, yes. Been there for many years, you know. That clinic used to be down on Irving Park Road. And there was an interesting story of the young woman working there. I found out they didn't have a license to operate, and we closed them down. And while she was on vacation, forced vacation, she went up in a plane and jumped out with a parachute, and it didn't open.
Ooh.
And she was killed. And so of course, we prayed for her. She was a young woman. She was a Catholic. And, of course, she could not have a Catholic funeral because mm-hmm. abortion is an excommunicable sin. And as far as we know, she hadn't repented. So they could not give her a Catholic funeral. And it was so sad because her father had died not long before her accident, and he had been buried in a Catholic cemetery with a Catholic mass and all. And it was so sad that she couldn't have the funeral, but I understand she is buried in the Catholic cemetery. And even though it's not proper, I'm sort of glad it happened because for the family's sake.
Right.
But abortion is the crime of our time, and we have to fight it. We are called to be militant.
Church militant.
Right, church militant is called. Not the church sitting around, the church feeling bad, but the church militant. And so we're the activists, you, Bonnie, for many, many years, and I just think it's one of the graces God gave me to get to know you, because you're not just a strong pro-lifer, you're a lot of fun to be with.
Oh, well, I could say the same thing about you, Giuseppe. I think when God puts two people together in a cause that is near and dear to his heart, there's more than just a relationship. There's a deep sharing of faith.
That's right.
And a deep commitment to the most, really, the greatest civil rights battle of our day, as we well know, having fought that civil rights battle way back, and the greatest spiritual battle of our day. It is the greatest spiritual battle of our day.
Bonnie, it really is a spiritual battle, a civil rights battle. You know, when we were fighting the civil rights battle back in the 60s and back when we at least had the victims fighting with us.
We did.
Remember that? I'd go down south in our march from Selma to Montgomery, which you made and which I ended up being threatened with my life. We did have people we could talk to. We had Martin Luther King, and we had all of the civil rights workers on the buses and at the rallies and so on. Now the babies, we memorialize them. The ones we try to save will grow up. I've met kids that were going to be aborted who were saved by the efforts of pro-life. But at the time you're saving them, they're just tiny little helpless infants in the womb.
Mm-hmm.
But they are God's creatures.
Yes, they are.
And I think, say something about that, about the fact that these are full human beings. That's what people have to realize.
Absolutely. From the moment of conception, a complete human being, dependent at that young age, totally dependent, and take it all the way to the close of life when we become dependent on others, too. There's a continuum of life there that our society seems to have lost a respect for, an understanding that life just doesn't happen. It's God's greatest gift to us, and our gift back should be its 24/7 defense of that life.
And you know, Bonnie, this goes way back. You read Aristotle, you read Socrates, Plato, some of these people, they knew.
Absolutely, they knew
there was life there. They knew that it was human life from conception. They didn't know about conception the way we do. It took many, many years for us to actually develop a microscope that we could see the baby, we could see the egg and the sperm and all that. But the church from the very beginning, in the Old Testament, we read about, you knew me in my mother's womb and so on. So, well, now it's getting time to wind up, Bonnie, but thanks a million for coming on. It's been a my pleasure.
My pleasure.
Okay, that's all the time we have for today. So thanks again to my guest, Bonnie Quirk. Join us next week on Pro Day. We'll have another guest that you won't want to miss, Tom O'Connor. Until then, from all of us at WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, I'm Joe Scheidler. Thanks for listening.
This has been an episode of Pro-Life Today on WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio. For more information about this program, email info@wsfiradio.org.
The Lord has given us WSFI 88.5 FM Antioch so that we can cry out in the garden, in the fields, in the pastures, to this great flock of God's children, this 1.2 million people, where are you? I seek you.
The team at WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio is passionately committed to the mission of spreading the gospel of Christ over the airwaves, and are confident that the programs on WSFI are educating and inspiring listeners to live a deeper life of faith. As 2014 comes to a close, we need your financial support. You can send your tax-deductible donation to WSFI Catholic Radio at P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois, 60048. That's P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois, 60048. Or donate online at WSFIradio.org.